And now it's time for our main theme this week, which is mind control. Can the way that your brain works be altered by external forces? Well, coming up, we'll find out about the parasites that can turn their victims into living zombies. Also, how the world around us is influencing our behaviour all the time, whether you realise it or not, and how scientists might one day be able to control you using just the contents of a pond and some light.
But first, when you think of mind control, there's usually one thing that immediately comes to mind. Hypnosis. This is the spooky phenomenon where people can appear to be under someone else's control. But is it real? Ever curious, the Naked Scientist decided to give it a go.
All right, so imagine now these magnets are going to get stronger and stronger. And what's going to happen is it's going to start pulling your hands in closer and closer together. Deep breath in for me. These are a real big stack of heavy books. Imagine your right hand now is going to get heavier and heavier and heavier. If you try and pull your fingertips apart, it's going to feel almost impossible to do so. The more you think about it and the stronger these magnets feel, if you try and pull your fingers apart, it's going to feel really, really hard to do so. One, two, three. Open your eyes.
Despite being a bunch of skeptics, there were definitely a few fingers stuck together and a hand or two floating up in the air. All thanks to the dark arts of Jack Blackbourne, professional hypnotist and mind reader, who started getting into it about 7 years ago.
There is hypnotist school, it's like Hogwarts, but for hypnotists. You can go on a big crash kind of course over a few days, and 2 days later you come out of it and you're a hypnotist, and easy as that, really.
What was it like for you the first time you actually hypnotised someone?
Scary, as you can imagine. The fear of failing in front of everyone. But the first time it worked, and you just had this overwhelming sense of, wow, I've got like a superpower now.
Yeah, and then were you tempted to use your powers for evil?
I still do. Not tempted, I still do, yeah. There are some crazy kind of ideas. Went into a bar and got someone who I've never met to give me all his money in his wallet for no reason at all other than it'll make him feel great.
Did you give his money back?
Of course I did, yeah.
What's your favourite thing you've ever got someone to do?
It depends on the situation. There's situations where you get like a stag party or a hen do, and everyone's up for something. Everyone's up for a laugh and everyone's up for a bit of Mickey taking, and you can get them to do whatever you want. You can get them to pretend like they're a baby again and they'll just crawl out on the floor and they'll make lots of noises and not talk like a human being. That's kind of fun in front of lots of burly men who are drunk to see their kind of their best man, for example, getting rolling around the floor crying. Yeah, that's always a good one.
Jack Blackbourne, so maybe don't invite him to your stag do if you're not up for being humiliated. Or maybe you'd like that, I don't know. But hypnosis isn't just of interest to stage magicians like him. Scientists are also extremely interested in it too. And with us is Devin Terhune. He's from Goldsmiths University, where he researches the phenomenon. So Devin, first of all, what sort of hypnosis are we talking about here? What does the word actually mean?
Hypnosis means a lot of different things depending on the usage and depending on the person using it. Typically, in an experimental or a clinical context, it refers to a set of techniques in which we harness the phenomenon of suggestion. So we use suggestions to alter behavior and experience. So suggestions are just simple verbal communications whereby we're telling you something that you're going to experience something as though it's occurring outside of your control. So I might tell you, for example, you are no longer able to experience anything in your arm. And in very highly suggestible individuals, this can often produce an experience where they cannot feel any pain, for example, in their arm. Hypnosis is just a technique for using those suggestions.
And what do you mean by highly suggestible? What does that actually translate into? How would I recognize someone who is?
They're not necessarily easy to recognize on the street, so they don't have any kind of distinct kind of characteristics that are easily identifiable. Nevertheless, they amount to about 10 to 15% of the population. So these are people that are able to experience pronounced changes in their thoughts, their emotions, their perception in response to suggestions. Kind of one of the most notable features of them is they tend to get very highly absorbed in activities. So people that tend to kind of get really emotionally involved in films or music and activities along those lines tend to more often than not be more highly suggestible.
And do we understand why when you make these suggestions to them, they are more susceptible to engaging with that message? Is there something about their brain that makes them susceptible?
Sure. So our understanding of the brain mechanisms underlying hypnosis are relatively poor. We do know that suggestibility is fairly stable, and so this would seem to suggest that there are these kind of neurophysiological characteristics. One kind of idea there's behavioral evidence as well as some neuroimaging evidence is that highly suggestible individuals seem to have less awareness of their intentions. So normally when I try to suppress pain in my arm, I'm aware that I'm intending to do so. So one kind of prominent theory of hypnosis is that we would suppress pain in the arm, but a highly stressful person is not aware that they're doing so, and that's why it feels like it's outside of their control. So this seems to kind of implicate brain regions or brain networks involved in the extent to which we're aware of our own mental states.
To what extent have people actually done hypnosis in brain scanners to see how it changes brain activity?
There's been a tremendous amount of research using functional neuroimaging techniques to study various features of hypnosis. It's been going on since the mid to late 90s. These studies have largely aimed to kind of validate hypnotic responses and less to study the mechanisms. So basically, in other words, these techniques have largely kind of shown beyond fairly reasonable doubt that when people are experiencing a reduction in pain in response to hypnosis, you're actually seeing corresponding changes in brain regions supporting pain processing. So basically, these studies overwhelmingly indicate that hypnosis is real in the sense that it's producing genuine changes in the brain.
And if it's producing genuine traces and changes in the brain, what's the application? And in what way can that be used for good? Not just to obviously make people laugh on stage. Can we use it clinically?
Yeah, so the primary clinical application of hypnosis in therapeutic context, perhaps the most prominent one is in the treatment and management of pain. So since the 19th century, hypnosis has been reliably used to treat and manage pain. It's important to emphasize it's certainly not a panacea. It doesn't work with everyone, and it's not going to work with all conditions and symptoms. It's especially good with pain. The evidence for other conditions, such as anxiety and depression, is not really as good. That might be because there's not a lot of research on that, so it's really hard to say. But particularly in the context of pain, it seems to be especially valuable.
And to finish, do you think it's just humans that are susceptible to hypnosis? Could I, for instance, hypnotize my dog?
I would say you cannot, no. So I would view hypnosis as largely a kind of a verbal application of suggestion. Certainly you could potentially manipulate your dog in various ways and potentially manipulate their behavior using various types of tricks. But I would be very cautious about kind of linking that with something like hypnosis.
I was thinking about the sort of lamb chop dangled in front of the nose. Devin, thank you ever so much. That's Devin Terhune. He's from Goldsmiths, University of London.